Paul's letter to the church at Rome, and to the whole church, including this one. For as in one body we have many members, and all members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. If teaching, in our teaching. Those who exhort in their exhortation, those who contribute, may they do so with liberality. Give aid with zeal. Those doing acts of mercy, may they be done with cheerfulness. One body, many members. It's not hard to think of the members of this church. And today we celebrate what has always been the case, that by participation we are together who God asks us to be in this place. But even more than that, we are connected to the ministries of other congregations throughout the country and throughout the world. Many members, one body, refers to that one holy Catholic and apostolic church toward which we profess our faith. I want to talk this morning about our place among many members and to try to give that some perspective, both with respect to the teachings of the church, what comes from Scripture, and simply in our own self-understanding. Where and how do all of us belong? Of the many members in God's one holy Catholic and apostolic church, I think of a woman whose name I don't fully know. I know that she's known, or at least has been known, as Ms. Mabisi. And Ms. Mabisi is a registered nurse, and she runs a clinic in rural Tanzania near the somewhat larger city of Arusha, which it would take me a while to find on a map. She is one of our many members. How so? Well, bear with me here. She has a brother who lives in the United States and who is married to the assistant minister at the church in which I grew up. Follow that? My home church's ministry includes support of and interest in this healthcare clinic in rural Tanzania. My sister is a family nurse practitioner, and she, this last year, spent a week in Tanzania at that clinic, seeing what they did, participating in it in her way, came back and said, I'm not doing that again. I'm glad there are other people that do that, but that's a dangerous, odd place. They, in the course of that week, they went to a hotel in the town of Arusha for a meeting, and I'd gotten an email to that effect, and I thought, well, I'm going to check this out. So I go to the internet, Google, I hit that link to that hotel just to find out about it, and my computer was immediately hit with a virus. They were seeking to get into whatever they could find on my computer, probably including the bank accounts. This part of the world is such that the infrastructure is, we will do what we can to get by in any way we know how. They don't have parking garages in Arusha. They have kids running around that will watch your car for $5. That's how it works. It's a difficult and dangerous place. And among other things, Jill said, I will help train other people to do that, and I'm glad there are people that will. It's not my calling, but it's theirs, and we're partners with them. Ms. Mabisi is one of our many members, together in which we share the body of Christ. Well, we are Presbyterian, and Presbyterians are above all connected. We are connected one unto another in ways that are sometimes a little difficult to understand. We want everyone to be a part of the church, but they don't let the ministers be the members. I don't know why that is, but, well, I do, and I'm not sure I fully get it, but it's just part of the process. And all of us are a part of a process and in some ways a work in progress. Most of you know I attended seminary in a that was affiliated with the Lutheran Church. And in Chicago, the seminary to which I was educated was right down the street from a Presbyterian seminary. And we had classes with and in fact shared living quarters with the Presbyterians. So, and I learned that we actually were more alike than different. But I also learned, among other things, from a Presbyterian I've never met. This was a textbook that I used, or that was used in my preaching class. It's called Telling the Truth. The Gospel is Tragedy, Comedy, and Fairy Tale, written by a Presbyterian minister whose name is equally non-intuitive to pronounce when you look at it, as is mine. So I feel some kinship with Frederick Buechner, and there's no way to get that just by looking at his name. In any case, his ministry has never been to a parish. He's an author. And he's encapsulated the gospel in ways that are uncommonly clear. He says this: the gospel is translated good news, but it's bad news first. It's the news that humans are sinners, to use the old word, that we have evil in our imaginations and our hearts, and that when we look in the mirror, what we see is at least part, eight parts, chicken, phony, slob. That's the tragedy. But it's also the news that we are loved anyway, cherished, forgiven, bleeding, but also bled for. That's the comedy. And yet, so what? So what if even in our sin, we are loved and forgiven, when the very mark and substance of sin is what keeps turning down love, because we don't believe in it, don't want it, or just don't care? In answer, the news of the gospel is that extraordinary things happen, just as in fairy tales, extraordinary things happen. King Lear goes berserk, but comes out of it for a few hours every inch a king. Zacchaeus climbs up a sycamore tree and climbs down a saint. Paul sets out a hatchet man for the Pharisees and comes back a fool for Christ. It's impossible for anybody to leave behind the darkness of the world he carries on his back, but for God, all things are possible. That's the fairy tale. In sum, the Christian gospel. And the very things that make it difficult in life are the things that make it joyful, and that is the process, sometimes the struggle, beneath which or out of which sometimes comes joy. I learned that from a Presbyterian minister I never met. He, Frederick Buechner, one of the many members in the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the body of Christ. And then there are the saints and sinners in this place. I think of family names that without which we wouldn't be sitting here. Connell, Coleman, McCrary, Francis, Brian J. Williams. I knew there'd be a chuckle with that. I've never met him. People say he would have liked me. And the reason they say he would have liked me is because I cut off the sermon after 15 minutes, whether I'm done or not. And I think he would have been well pleased that we planned this day, which includes a lunch, which takes us into the 12 o'clock game, on a day when the Cowboys, which also happens to be the Packer game, doesn't start till 3:15. We can get church done, we can get lunch done, and still make the kickoff. In this church, we sing on Christmas. The Christmas Carol, there's a song in the air. For one reason and one reason only. It was Brian J. Williams' favorite song. He couldn't play it on a guitar, but it didn't stop him from trying. And we sing it every year to honor his place as one of the many members of this particular version of the body of Christ. I think of Larry Mills. Life is characterized by many of the same things. All life begins. All life ends, and there's living in between. The only variation is how many years that is, and Larry's had too few years, as far as I'm concerned, as far as all of us are concerned. But he represents one of the many members who, in the course of his ministry here, kept the wheels on, quietly in ways that I'm sure we still don't fully know, just took care of the details. And everyone in this room does, in their own way, the same thing, tending to the details of ministry, whether that relates specifically to the checkbook of a church, the tending of the grounds, the monitoring of the windows, all of the things that simply keep the wheels on so that we have a place where we can come and worship, we have a place where we can receive new members, where we conduct baptisms and weddings and funerals. The rhythm of life, the essence of life, occurs in microcosm in this building. And Larry Mills and many others have kept the wheels on. And for that, I'm grateful. for all of our individual, specific, and special ministries in this church, one of the many members in the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the body of Christ. And finally, and I know I'm getting close to 15 minutes, Addie Williams, Cole Boren, Sierra, Darcy, and all the children that were here just a minute ago. They force me to do what is not intuitively easy for me to do, and that is translate the thoughts behind these meditations in a way that's accessible to six-year-olds. I'm not intuitively good at that. I've had to develop some skills. I've had to be carefully taught by people who are intuitively good at that, how to try to translate a sermon into English for a six-year-old. And the six-year-olds force me to do that and put me in touch with what is the essence of the faith. And for that, I'm grateful. 10 years ago, Addie Williams was Madison Cash. 20 years ago, Addie Williams and Madison Cash were my stepdaughter, Lindy, who a month ago, when she was at worship in this building, brought with her her daughter, Lily, and the two of them sat right there. That was the first second-generation children's sermon in my ministry. And life goes on. These are the many members that will continue to carry us forward, that will continue this ministry and in this place in ways that only God can imagine. And I imagine that it will be good. Frederick Buechner also said this about St. Paul, writing a book called Peculiar Treasures, A Biblical Who's Who. Well, I would contend that all of us, all of our many members, are also peculiar treasures. And he said this of the captain of the team, the Apostle Paul. God was making a body for Christ, Paul said. Christ didn't have a regular body anymore, so God was making him one out of anybody he could find who looked as if he or she might just possibly do. He was using other people's hands to be Christ's hands and other people's feet to be Christ's feet. And when there was some place where Christ was needed in a hurry and needed bad, he put the finger on some maybe not all that innocent bystander and got him to go and her to go and be Christ in that place himself, for lack of anybody better. Well, I would contend that the many members in this church, in the whole church, there is nobody better than you, where you are, to be who God asks you to be. There's no competition in the race for you to be you. And God made you that way for that purpose. And today we celebrate our place, all of our places, the sum of which, the whole of which, are greater than the sum of its parts in the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And with that, we will serve lunch. Amen.